Take your Bible, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. We're going to look at our memory verse this morning. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And our theme this month is on being a vessel unto honor. And that's the title of my message this morning. We actually are talking about being or getting ready to work. When you buy a car, you usually don't buy it so you can just look at it. Okay? When you buy a lot of things these days, we kind of we forget that they have a use, they have a purpose. And isn't it funny how things have to look really good for us to want to buy them? So looks is almost taken over functionality. You're not just wearing glasses; you're wearing a fashion statement. You know that these days. So you know when I was growing up, it was glasses. That's what you wore, and you knew you looked like a geek when you wore one. But now, they're all based on looks. When we get things, when we buy things, it's for a purpose. And when we get saved, God saved us for a purpose. Rarely do we prepare for that purpose. God's foundation, would you look in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, says this, "It's a study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." So what are we supposed to study? The Bible, the word of God. Study it. Some people think that they can sleep on top of it and it will ooze in. Some people think that, you know, just coming to church, they'll just pick up all of these good cooties. You know what a cootie is, don't you, Weston? Usually girls give them off, you know, and you run from them. But you think that there's something magical about just being around church. The Bible says you have to study the Bible. Verse 16, "But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness." So what will vain talk produce in you? Ungodliness. "And their word," the word of those who speak vain babblings. Vain, you know what vain is? Vain is self. Vain is what we always think about. Is what we look like, what we feel like, what we want to do. It's all about me, and that's vain. And then there are people, you listen, you already face yourself 24 hours a day, and so you turn on the radio and all they do is talk about you. It's vain babblings, and when you listen to them, it produces ungodliness, and their word, not God's word, but their word will eat as doth a canker, a small little worm, that if you allow it into your clothes box or your dresser, it will eat through all of your best clothes. It will eat as doth a canker, of whom, and he mentions two false preachers of the day, Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred. They've started preaching heresy, saying that the resurrection is past already, and these two men were overthrowing the faith of some. That was going on back in those days. Nevertheless, verse 19, "The foundation of God standeth sure." Somebody want to tell me what the foundation of God is? We just read about it. It is the Word of God. You want to build your life on something? Build it on the foundation of God because it stands sure. The winds may blow, the storms may come, the earth may quake, but that foundation holds, doesn't it? That book, that 4,000-year-old document, is still just as up-to-date as if it was written yesterday. That is, stands sure. The foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. Now here's the conviction. This is the concern. Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. And as you read through this thing, I want you to see, shun, depart, come away from. There seems to be a push by the Holy Spirit as we read the Bible for us to make a decision to come away from some things and come close to something else. Because there is a danger with what we allow into our eye gate, into our ear gate. If I'm going to be, and I'm going to go ahead and get into my message, if I'm going to be a vessel unto honor, if I'm going to have an honorable life, I'm going to have to make a choice. Let me keep going, looking at this. God's foundation is His Word. It would be a terrible thing for somebody in this room to be here every week to carry a Bible into church and never read it. Never obey it. Actually just trust that, well, pastor believes it. Whatever he says, I believe. Don't you do that. You must build your life on the Bible you hold in your hand. Because that stands sure. I'm not guaranteed to be here tomorrow, are you? So you better build your life on something that still will stand. I'm already ahead of my message. God's foundation is His Word. God knows those who are His. Don't you hate fakers? Frauds? People who wear a mask? Put on a show? Well, God knows who's real. You know what? The Bible says, God knoweth them that are His. And the world should know who belongs to Him too. That's a convicting thought. The world should see that you're not like them. The world should see that you don't live like the rest of everybody. You don't love like other people do. People love today in a very strange way. Don't you try and love people like the world loves them. Because at the drop of a hat, they're gone. You make a friend, you stick with them. You make a commitment, you make a vow and says, until death do us part, you stay with them. That's love, amen? Don't you dare love like the world. Don't talk like the world. How do you spell that? S-U-P. Duh. Don't talk like the world. Now, we can have fun with that, but that's not how we should talk. Don't go over to the phone and say, sup. Don't talk like a Christian. I used to do this, Nita, and I'm kind of ashamed I don't do it anymore, but for the first couple of years we were here, I just got in the mood of just coming out of the closet, being all the way, pick up the phone, Jesus saves. I had a lot of silence after those answers. They go, You know, it's just good. When you get around a Christian, you'd expect a Christian to talk like a Christian, amen? Dress. We should dress differently than the world. We should act differently than the world. We should walk differently. The world should know that you belong to God. He knows who are His. The world should know who belong to Him. That leads to the next scripture. And by the way, we shouldn't be ashamed of it. We shouldn't be ashamed of it. Well, I want to be different. You know, if you're saved, you already are different. You already are. So don't be ashamed of what God made you to be, a new creature in Christ. Now that brings us to the next scripture. Look at verse 20. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, there are also vessels of wood and of earth, some to honor, some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be that vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the Master's use and prepared unto every good work. I want to talk about that vessel unto honor this morning. Somebody's trying to get in. No, it's not. It's a little... Okay. No. I'm just afraid he's going to get his hand pinched. Okay. Papa's up here. All right. While he's making his way, let's all bow our heads in prayer. Let's ask God to help us this morning. Father, please teach us this great truth. Challenge us to this great task. Lord, we need this verse. We need this whole month. Because our emphasis is on good works. Our emphasis is on doing something that matters. Most of us already know we can do nothing to earn your love or earn your grace.
It is a gift from God.
God, since we've been born again, all we did was receive the gift. But since that gift came and we were transformed, You've called us unto good works. You've called us to do some good things. We're not doing them very well. We kind of feel flustered, kind of feel failed. And this morning I pray You pick us up and help us in the right direction. Teach us how to be vessels unto honor, Your honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Being a vessel unto honor. Now, look back there in verse 20. It says, in a great house, they're not only vessels of gold and of silver and so on and so forth. The idea is God has a great big house. All right. Now, that's an outhouse compared to God's house. All right. Just understand. But I wanted to get a picture of a mansion so that you think of a 30-room house. The Bible says that God has a great house. It's filled with lots of furniture. It's filled with a lot of kitchenware. Now, He's not referring to a church. In a great house, it's not talking about a church. He's talking about the world. God made this world. This is His doing. This is His house. This is what He made. And there were all kinds of vessels in this house. Now, vessels refers to containers, like cups and dishes and plates and bowls, anything that carries something else. Like, this is a vessel, right? What does it normally carry? Flowers, okay? We call it a flower vase, you know. It depends on which side of the Montanati you're living in, you know. Flower vase. But it's a vessel. All right? If you're really hungry, you can put cereal in it. It doesn't matter. There are bowls and cups. Where's my bowl? All right? This is, what do you call this? A breakfast bowl, a soup bowl. Okay. There are buckets and tumblers and things. They're all vessels. This is something made by a company called Rubbermaid, and it's like Tupperware. How many of you know what a Tupperware thing is? Okay, you know what that is. You can put your food in there and put it in the fridge and pull it out and reheat it. You know, it's all really nice and tidy and, you know, it's modern, you know, but it's a vessel. And as God begins to describe this, He says that these are all containers within God's reach. Some of them are made out of stunning gold. Some are made out of mundane things like clay or plastic. But these vessels are what we are. We were created for something greater than just ourselves. You don't buy a bowl normally and just look at it. All right? Now, there's some things you buy and you just look at because they're so expensive or whatever. You don't use them. But in God's great house, everything has a purpose. Everything is a use. It's something that He reaches for and He uses for His glory, His praise, and His purpose. Now, there are really only two kinds of vessels in His house. He only sees two of them. First one is an honorable vessel. And I'll give you one guess what the other one is. A dishonorable. Only two categories. There are those things that are highly thought of. And maybe they're showed off. You know, if somebody comes and you say, look what I just got. Maybe the other is something you're embarrassed to show to someone. You wouldn't want them to see. Both, however, are used. Maybe not like we want. Honorable vessels. Let me go through a list here. Honorable vessels are like fine china. Maybe they're a coffee or a teacup. Maybe it's a water jug or a serving dish. Clean dinner plate or a plastic Tupperware, like I said. You know, these things, none of the things that I have, none of the things we have are made out of gold. All right? Did you know an honorable vessel does not have to be made out of very expensive things? It just has to be clean. It has to be clean. Well, let me go through dishonorable ones. Invite Andrew and Jennifer over for breakfast. We're going to have cereal. So I place in front of Jennifer a nice clean bowl, and she takes it, But I run out of bowls. So I reach down to the floor and I push Lizzie away and I grab Lizzie's dog dish, dump what's left in there into the bin, and then pour in the Cheerios and I hand it to Andrew. Is something wrong with that picture? No. Is a dog dish a vessel? Yes, it holds dog food. But it is not an honorable vessel. Okay, the dog loves it, but we're talking about for an honorable use. Is a kitty litter box a necessary vessel? Yes. If you have a cat, unless they're outdoor cat, you need a kitty litter box. How about a mop bucket? Is that a good, important vessel in the home? Men should learn to use one. Okay. How about a Hoover bag? Yes, they're necessary. How about a bedpan? They are. Some of you are like, is that a trick question? Depends. We have a running joke. We went to the Mexican restaurant in Cork. Thank you. Called Cafe Mexicana, a couple weeks back, and they have a pie there. All right, it's a beautiful pie. It's one of my most favorite. Nita made it for me for my birthday. It's called a pecan pie. But Eric kept saying it the wrong way. He called it the pecan pie. Now, I grew up with pecans. The pecans were not that size, okay, that you crack open and you eat the nut inside. A pecan is a dishonorable vessel. I don't care if it's made out of gold. You're not bringing it out and showing anybody. Amen? Do you understand what I'm saying? It's a necessary vessel when there's no place else to go. But there is something. I don't care if it's made out of gold and it's studded with jewels. It is a dishonorable vessel. Are you with me? You know, God uses all kinds of vessels. He uses both the saved and the lost person. You better beware. If you're not born again this morning, and if you stand in here and you come in and you stay there and you resist the pulling of the Holy Spirit, you resist the guilt and the shame of your sin, and you sit there and you will not get born again, one of these days God will use you as an example of a fool. You want to be done that way? God will use you. Won't be what you like. He'll use saved and a lost person. He'll use somebody who's living clean. He'll even use somebody who's living unclean. Remember, God made two kinds of animals, didn't he? He made clean and unclean animals, didn't he? Things that you do eat, things you don't eat. And he made both of them. They both have their purpose, but only one is worth noticing. Only one has value. People are compared to those two kinds of vessels. I need you to hold your place here. Well, you can go ahead and leave it. We'll come back. Look in Acts chapter 9. Go to the left and find Acts chapter 9 and verse 15. Acts 9 and verse 15. Acts 9 and verse 15. Paul is at the moment when he's finally humbled himself and he's received the gift of eternal life. He's gotten born again. Verse 15 says, "But the Lord said unto Ananias," who had been talking to Paul, and the Lord said unto Ananias, "Go thy way, for he," Paul, "is a" what? "Chosen vessel unto me." He's a special container, a special person unto me, to carry my name, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. Look at verse 23. Still in Acts. I'm in Acts. Now go to Romans. Sorry. Romans, verse 20, chapter 9 and verse 23. Romans chapter 9 and verse 23. Paul is called a chosen vessel. Anybody who ever gets born again realizes that they are a vessel of God's mercy. Look in verse 23. "And that he might make known the riches of His glory, on the vessels of mercy, which He had afore prepared unto glory. But go back to verse 22 and look who else He's talking about. There are those who get His mercy, and then there's another group, verse 22. What if God, willing to show His, what's the next word? And to make His power known, what if God endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? So what kind? There are two there described. One is called the vessel of mercy. They are given God's mercy. What's the other vessel called? A vessel that received God's wrath. Which one do you want to be? You know why I got born again, Brother Dennis? Because I feared God. I realized I was only going to receive the wrath of God. I was only worthy of facing His wrath. And I found out I didn't have to. Pharaoh was called a vessel that God said, you know what, Pharaoh? I'm going to use you. I'm going to show how strong I am and how weak you are. And Pharaoh was destroyed, wasn't he? God uses all kinds of vessels, doesn't He? The big deal is this. What's the point, Pastor? You choose how you want to be used by God. You decide on just how ready you want to be so that He can use you. Now let's go back to 2 Timothy chapter 2. I just realized I put 1 Timothy there. Ignore that. It's 2 Timothy chapter 2. In verse 21, I'm going to talk about your choice. Actually, I'm going to talk about your duty. Not just a choice. It's a duty. I mean, you shouldn't even debate about it. Pastor, I'm not so sure if I, you know, I'm praying about whether, you know. The things that we learn in the Bible, we should just settle. That settles it. I don't have to pray about it. I don't have to seek counsel about it. I just need to do it. Watch what I'm going to talk about. Verse 21 says this, if a man therefore purge himself from these, we're going to learn who the these are in just a moment, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. If you'd like to be a vessel unto honor, I'll show you the secret to it. Your duty is twofold. What you got to do is twofold. It's just called purging and protecting, and it's kind of simple. The first thing, when it talks about purging there, it means breaking away. It means separating from, putting distance between yourself and someone or something that is defiling you. To defile is to soil you, taint you, spoil you. Because a spoiled vessel is a dishonorable vessel. I'll show you a unique illustration. Had a cup of tea this morning. I had to preserve this so that it didn't get broken. And right now, you know I'm trepidatious knowing it'll probably go flying out of my hands now. But this is a beautiful, I mean, what is that? Isn't that a nice cup? Wouldn't you like to have a cup of tea? How many like to have a cup of tea? You know, the Pharisees looked beautiful on the outside. But when you looked inside, what were they like? Still want a cup of tea? Hmm? It's fine, is it now? You give it to your husband, Pat. A soiled vessel is a dishonorable one, no matter how beautiful, no matter how expensive it may be. Amen? Now, in order to make that usable, see, this is not made to be destroyed, is it? It can be cleaned, can't it? And if it's going to be used, it must be cleaned. So my role is to look into my life and see what needs to be purged. Amen? That's what church... You come to church, there he goes again. He's all over me. Yeah, because I'm bringing out the steel wool. Amen? See, some of you men don't know what that is. You bring out the strong, hard scrubbing to get it clean.
things.
Hey, listen. If I know men and women today, we need it. We need some strong, hard cleaning. Purging. Now, there are two kinds of purging. All right? The first one was done on the cross. See, we're not talking about salvation. Salvation is God's forgiveness of you at His Son's expense. The perfect life of the Son of God was judged and condemned in place of wicked men. His blood was shed as an innocent lamb for us guilty. His offer to anyone now is just to ask Him to forgive them, and instantly He complies. When Jesus gave Himself, He did all that was necessary to pay off all the debt of our sins that we ever have or ever will commit. That's good purging. Just by calling on His name, you see, that's simple. Yeah, whether you're stuck on a cross next to Jesus or you're down at the bottom, at the foot of the cross, and you're running free, both of them can just ask, and you're given eternal life. Listen to Hebrews 1:3. It says, "Who, being the brightness of God's glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He, Jesus, had by Himself," not with the help of Mary, "but when He had by Himself purged our sins, He sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high." He purged our sins. Hebrews 9:14 says, "How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, how much more shall He purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" Can't go to sleep at night. You're sitting worry, and you got guilt, and you're constantly trying to drown all of the pain and all the guilt. Let me tell you, the blood of Jesus Christ can purge your guilty conscience because of what He went through. To purge, it'll be more specific. Let's get more biblically correct here. It means to burn something out. That's what it means. You know, it's no good. It's no good just taking something that's sinful to you. Something that, say you put a pack of cigarettes in front of me. I mean, I'll walk right over them. No pull at all. But say if I did have a problem and I was constantly tempted by cigarettes, it's no good for me to pick up my cigarettes and to put them up high. It's no good having internet and then you being in charge of the password. Amen? You know what you need to do with those cigarettes? Give them to me. Because I like warm fires. Amen. Amen. I throw them right in the fire. Amen. To purge means to get it so it's not there anymore. If something is plaguing you, you need to burn it out. Clear out the blocked pathway. You know, Jesus took away everything that came between me and God. Psalm 103 verse 12 says, "As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us." That's a long way. Hebrews 10 says, "And every priest standeth daily, ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man," speaking of Jesus, "after He had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, He sat down on the right hand of God." That's a good sacrifice. Romans 5:1 says, Therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." It's done. It's a done deal. Ephesians 2:8 and 9. "For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast." That's the first kind of purging. Now, I had no part in it, did you? He was whipped. He was bruised for our transgressions. He purged my sin record. Amen? But that's not the only kind of purging you need to think about. Second kind of purging is what's called ongoing daily sanctification. God's business is to purge my sin record so that I'm forgiven. My business is to stay clean. Let me give you an illustration of little Johnny. Johnny's going to Sunday night church. But he's been playing outside for a while, and so mommy brings him in and says, "You've got a little messy here. Let's give you a good bath." So Johnny steps in the bathtub, and he's quickly washed up, and then she gets him all dressed up and puts his tie back on. Says, "We're going to church Sunday night. We're going back to church." And Johnny looks out, and he sees a big water puddle. When mom ain't looking, out he goes. And now, what did mom expect of Johnny? To stay clean. She just cleaned him up, didn't she? She expected him to stay clean. Now, can he get clean again? Of course he can. He can change the trousers, change the shoes, and get out the door again. But the idea is, aren't we so wrong to take the cleansing that God has given us and then to go and just defile ourselves? Bring on all the filth that He cleaned us up from. That's why the Bible says, shun some things. Purge some things. Can you just please stay away from some things? You can do nothing to get clean, but you can do everything to stay clean, is the truth. God is the one that saves us, and He keeps us saved. We're actually in His hand. He's got a good grip. Amen? But it's up to us to keep ourselves clean, and that's the next point. And the idea is this, and it's called protecting what's clean. If Jesus did all of that for us, wouldn't we be? And what did He give up so that He would go through that? Absolutely everything, even down to His very life's breath. What am I willing to do without? Christians forget that they have a responsibility to stay clean. Like a child, like I said, who just took their bath and needs to stay away from water puddles. Daniel 1:8, Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's meat. Now we're talking steak. We're talking roast duck and mashed potatoes and the whole spread of everything that was possibly delicious. But he knew that had been offered as part of worship to an ungodly idol. Daniel says, "I have no part in it. I will not defile my mind, my heart, or my life." You know, Daniel already was clean, but he determined to protect his heart and his mind from idolatry. Anything that would come between him and God, he was not going to allow, even if they made a law against it. Remember, it was time to pray, and they made a law, you can't pray. And he said, "Ain't nothing going to come between me and my walk with God." How do you protect God's word in your heart? Look back in verse 16. Look at what he says. Shun profane and vain babblings. Right down next to that, TV. Neil Prendeville. Brian Tuberty. Shun it. You tell me I can't. I think God is. I think God is saying, be careful what you're putting into your eye gate and into your ear gate. Now, I know there are special times and people, but if every Friday night, for the next 2 hours, you're just late show because you want to see all the kind of filth that is coming into Ireland, go right ahead. I think you're dumb. It's a free country. Go ahead, ruin your life. I got better things to do with my time and my life than to be letting, I know Brian Tuberty's retired or who's ever taken his place. I haven't seen it since the toy show. The last time I saw the Late Show. But isn't it funny how Gabe O'Byrne introduced Ireland to a lot of filthy, wicked sin? First, on his show, before it all of a sudden became accepted. And it's just, as a Christian, you be careful what you wouldn't allow some things that are said on your television. Some things you can't control.
Some things you can. It's going to get real quiet here, okay? So just hold on. It's scrubbing time. Look at verse 16. 2 Timothy 2:16, it says, "But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase." They'll only produce more ungodliness. "And their word, what they say, is going to eat you up as doth a canker worm, of whom," and he mentions two of them, I can list 100 of them. "Do you have a TV?" "Yeah, I have a TV." "Man, I find very little to watch. I mean, we used to have fun watching Mythbusters. Now they're only reruns. We know them all." I think it's cool, you know. Seeing babbling. So false doctrines. Be careful what you're reading and stuff. Hey, listen, well, it's got a new version. Well, you know, these people, I just stick with my Bible. Now, I read lots of books. I read books on marriage. I read books on child training. I read books on how to beat your parishioners into submission. I read books. Well, I shouldn't tell you that one. I read lots of things, but I'm careful. When I'm reading along, and Nito will tell you, I'll read along and I go, this guy's off the wall. I'll close it. He's just tearing down everything I hold to be true that I got out of my King James Bible. Shun it. I mean, you could spend your life reading everything else out there and never read one page out of your Bible. That's a fool. You can read anything you want, and I know I got 27 different books on science, maybe 30 of them, all on the cell and on biology and on evolution and on the stars, and all written by atheists. And I read them, but I don't read as much of them as I read as much of this. This is my foundation. Does that make sense? You want to watch television? You know what I ought to say? Read more of your Bible than you watch television. I think you'll stay safe then, amen? False doctrines. That'll keep you from falling down all these prosperity gospels and all of these crazy things. Every single person's got a new religion. False doctrines. Wicked men. You know how to stay away from wicked men? Hang around good ones. Amen. That's why we have church Sunday morning, Sunday night. We ought to have church Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, but we can't. But we're back on Wednesday. We're back at RU on Friday. Then we got teens on Saturday. And then we're back again on Sunday. Why do you have it so much? Because we need to hang around each other. We just need to. If you're not hanging around good people, you're probably going to end up bored and with the wrong ones. I lead a very boring life, but I am never bored. Isn't that a good contradiction? Amen. False doctrines. Protect your heart from false doctrines, wicked men, and even wicked imagination. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, casting down every imagination that cometh, go to 2 Corinthians. Thought I remembered it. And every high thing. That's what I forgot. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I can't help all the stuff that goes through my head. Kathleen, you ever had a cat get in your house that you didn't want? You know how they got in? Because you left a window open or a door open, right? Now let's pretend that in Kathleen's house there are 47 cats. The first thing you do to stop the cats from coming in is shut the door, all right? Right? So you stop all the stuff. Then you start grabbing the cat gently, opening the window, grab another one. You've got thoughts going through your head and you're struggling with them. First thing you need to do is quit listening to the things that gave you those thoughts to begin with. Amen. You listen to Eminem, you will think of suicide. You listen to Elvis Presley. I went over to where's Dean? Dean's got a pretty good Elvis impersonation. But you listen, some of you old-timers, you listen to Elvis Presley and all that stuff. That guy died a dope head overdose because he had no joy, no God, no hope. You listen to him, you're going to have no joy, no God, and no hope. My point is this. shut the door to what is feeding you with all that stuff. Then every time something comes up in your heart and in your mind that you go, that doesn't belong, grab it and chuck it. He said, can you do that? According to my Bible, you can. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. Casting down imaginations. And every high thing, I don't care how high it is, every high thing that has exalted itself against the knowledge of God. And you bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of who? Amen. See, I just find it hard to come on Sunday night. You know why? Because your thoughts have taken you away. You grab that thought and it says, nope, I belong in church on Sunday night, and I bring it into subjection so that it goes, yes, okay, I'll go. Amen. You say, I want something really deep, Pastor. Come on, psychological. Use some terms that really impress me. Grab the thought and throw it out. Amen. Now, it may scoot in another door, but grab it again and out the door. I think it's great. How quickly we can throw away this clean new life we have in Christ and become dishonorable and dishonoring just by a filthy mouth. By a bitter spirit. You know what the Bible calls a bitter spirit? Proud wrath. You're too proud to say, I'm bitter. A hard heart. Did you know stubbornness is as the sin of witchcraft? You want to be defiled? Just stiffen up, man. By an adulterous eye. You want to be dishonorable? You want God to just go, can't use you today? You know how? To have an eye that just keeps undressing and keeps looking for flesh and keeps trying to find some way so you can get on that internet and so you can go wicked! You want to do that, men? Go right ahead. God can't use you. He'll say, filthy! You come to church and you look just like that. But if we had an X-machine, that's what you'd look like. Amen. You know what's sad? The women are almost as steeped in it as the men. First of all, the women are out there performing it. We need some help. We need a God-sent revival that would save some wicked men and women. And not only cleans them up on the outside, but cleans them up on the inside. So that thing gets lesser and lesser and lesser. You say, you think you can legislate morality? God said, don't do it. He already legislated. He already said what to do and not to do. And I'm talking to Christians who need to protect what God cleansed. Because just 2 minutes on the internet can defile you for a month. Amen? Covetous spirit. Christians who can't praise God and yet they have nothing but a complaining attitude. You know what that is? A dishonorable attitude. Don't you think that we expect politicians to be honorable. We expect it. We expect salesmen, especially car salesmen, they're supposed to be honorable. They're supposed to be, aren't they? We expect doctors to be honorable. You go to a doctor, you expect them to be honest with you. We expect them to have your best health in mind. We expect them to not just want to make money off you and just give you something and not really care about you. You expect it of doctors. You expect teachers to be trustworthy with children and to be honorable, don't we? It's only natural that the world would expect us Christians to be honorable. It's only natural that God would expect us and we should expect of ourselves to be honorable. Vessels unto honor. What is that? That's what your kitchen looks like when mama's not home. There's nothing wrong with that picture. They just need to be washed. It would be wrong, again, if Andrew came to my house and he was thirsty and I reached in and grabbed the dish and gave it to him. That'd be wrong, right? But it would be wrong for me to take something that is clean and just pile it right amongst the midst of that filth, an unwashed dish, and expect that he would want to drink from it as well. Because when you hang around filthy things, you get filthy. Is that deep enough? Boy, that's deep, Beth. Wow, I'm still pondering. Hang around filthy things, and I'll be filthy. Write that down. You may need to do that. Amen. May be the best thing for your kids to just dump the television for a year. Maybe for a month. I don't know. Take a fast from the television and say, well, you know, my kids will kill me. No, the problem is you want it. Amen? Are you willing to do that to protect your kids, protect your own eyes? Would you do that with your laptop? Would you do that with your internet? Would you do that with your picture phone and trade down and go back to the old? No pictures? Would you? I know. He's still waiting to trade up. All right. His has a dial on it. Our goal as Christians is to be a vessel unto honor. Go to Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapters 19. Hold your place in 2 Timothy, if you would, and find Revelation chapter 19. I'm not preaching fast tonight, or this morning, and I'm not too excited, even though I am, because I want everything to sink in. I want you to just go... Not that, all right, he's not going fast, and I could go a lot faster, but I'm really, really wanting you to go, I got that. All right, now I know what he just said. In Revelation chapter 19, our theme verse for the entire year, verse 7 says, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife, that's us, have made herself ready. What's a woman doing spending 9 hours preparing for a 30-minute wedding ceremony? I would hope it's so that she can honor her husband. That's what I hope. Why in this world is God letting you live? I'm saved 32 years. Why is God letting you live, breathe, do anything for year after year after year, if not so that you can prepare to bring him honor, to be a vessel unto honor? Our goal is to be a vessel unto honor. And I mean as an honorable vessel. You know, being the Christian life is an honorable life. Never be ashamed of being a Christian. The world will laugh at you. They will mock you. They will call you weird. They'll call you a Bible thumper. Everything they can to malign. A couple of the greatest things I've ever called, that were actually called me, I had one time somebody says, you're a Christian, aren't you? And I went, wow. And I shook his hand and I said, thank you. At work, when I worked for the telephone company, everybody would go, here comes the preacher. And I would go, yes. Now, some of you are like, oh, they call me a preacher again. Oh, I can't handle it. It is an honorable thing being a Christian. Don't be a pretty vessel. Sick and tired of pretty Christians. You have a pretty life. It's all outside. You know how to smile when it's on cue. You know, Andrew, every time you take a picture of him, point the camera at him and watch him. I mean, it's instinct. If he sees the camera, Weston goes. Don't be a pretty vessel when everybody's looking at you. Put on the show. Put on the mask. No, don't worry about grief, sorrow. Don't worry about ups or downs. Just be honorable. Just be clean. You come in after a hard week. You come in after a hard month. and you're just barely crawling in here, I can sit and listen, and I will pray with you, and we will grieve and weep over everything, but you can stand tall, you can stand as a blessing if you're clean. Amen. Be a vessel of honor. None of us that have been called to a perfect life, we've been called unto holiness. Be an honorable vessel. You don't have to come in and say, Pastor, I won 47 people to Christ this week. You can't do it. That'd be wonderful. You know what's more important? Pastor, I am still free. I am still free. Amen. Honorable. He uses another word. Sanctified. Go back to it. We're almost through. Second Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 21. The man therefore purge himself from these things. He lists them, that Hymenaeus and Alexander, those false prophets, and from all of the vain babblings and ungodliness. If you purge yourself from all that, you can be a vessel unto honor. And he uses the next word, sanctify. Now, sanctified means clean. You know what I'd like to be able to say? I'd like to be able to say, when I'm getting ready to marry somebody, I'd like to be able to say that I know, that I know, that I know they've kept themselves pure for each other. Because that is your job.
I thought it was to get a girl.
No. Your job, if you want to get married, you listen to Weston? Your job, if you want to get married, is to keep your vessel clean until that day where you stand at the altar and you say, Pastor, how do I kiss her? You'll figure it out. You don't need to experiment. I think marriage is all wonderful about discovery. First person I ever kissed was my wife when we got married on the very day, the very moment he said, you may now kiss that bride. That was the first woman I ever kissed. He said, well, you're weird. Hallelujah. Keep yourself pure. Sanctified. It also means set apart. Like I use it. Keep it. If you got clean dishes, what do you do with clean dishes? You put them away. Amen. You get the dirty dishes. They're all one big pile. They're getting cleaned up. But once they get clean, you put them in a special spot, in a place. And in a church, somebody gets saved. What are we doing? I say, listen, I could use your help over here. And boom, he's over there serving the Lord. And I say, listen, I need your help over there. And people start finding their place in the body. Amen. And they find out, this keeps me clean. Keeps me, you know, while you're singing these hymns, while you're reading along with me, you're staying out of sin. Amen. Sanctified vessel. Uses another word there. He says, meat for the master's use. That's an older word. We don't use meat very often unless we're meeting somebody. But it still means, it means two coming together. Right? God has a use. Will I be willing to go to whatever he needs? Will I meet him at the need? I am to be usable for the use. Meet. How about this? Just right for the occasion. Again, Andrew comes. And I bring Andrew. And he says, this is the only cup I got. I've been saving it for you. Maybe I ought to, but nah. That's, you know, if it's meat for the master's use, it's prepared. It's ready to be used when it's needed. And this is not ready to be used, is it? You will get a clean cup at my home, don't worry. Meat for the master's use. Most of our life is spent preparing things for our own use, that we would consume them upon our own lust. But this body, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, this body has been bought with a price. And I should glorify God in my body and in my spirit. That means I cannot do with my body as I please anymore. I cannot smoke now that I'm a Christian. Thank you, go. You're making rules. Would you come to my house and have tea with me? Or would you like me to wash out the cup before you have tea? See, these aren't rules. This is God talking to us, saying, will you be a vessel unto honor? Will you be neat? Will you be right, just right for the occasion? I cannot say what God's going to do with your life. I have no idea what God can do with anyone. I may see potential. What God is saying for you is to stay clean so that when He needs you, you're ready. So I'm not well trained. I'm glad you said that. Oh, I haven't gone to Bible college. Oh, I'm so glad you thought of that. Oh, I can't speak. I can't get up in front of... I'm so glad you thought of those things. Because God could care less. It says that if a man therefore shall purge himself from these things, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared, already prepared, unto every good work. Why can't I smoke? Because God wants to use you instead of let you die in a hospital somewhere. Why can't I drink? Because God would like to keep you around for 100 years instead of only 40. Why can't I stay up late and fill my eyes and my mind with every wicked imagination the world wants to throw at you? Because God has something for you but the next day. And if you don't sleep the night before, you're no good the next day. My life is meant for the Master's use. And by the way, if you haven't figured out, the Master's God. Remember, this is His house. I know the devil's got run of this place right now, but he's only the letter. One of these days, he's kicked out. God's coming back to His house. Whether we agree with it or not, He is Lord. My goal, your goal, no matter how small a task it may be or how hard and impossible, if it is His will, it is mine too. You need to look at yourself in the mirror, take a good look at what you're going through and decide, if this is God's will, then so be it. As long as I can be used by God to praise Him, to honor Him, to glorify Him, I will do it clean. I will not do it like the world gives up. I will not face my trial as an unsaved person. I will do it as a child of God, and I will stay clean. I will not let my heart blame and curse God. I will not let my mind give up on God. I will stay clean. And this prepared vessel, every day God is preparing us, fashioning us, equipping us for some good works. And you know how He's doing that? He's actually preparing you, somebody in this room, to preach. Not because you're reading books on preaching. Not because you're sitting under the greatest preachers of all time. Do you know how God prepares a man to preach the gospel? By teaching that man to hate sin. Amen. You know how God gets a man ready for marriage? It's not because he reads 57 books on marriage. Because that man decides, I will hate sin. I will purge my life. Because the Bible promises that if you will purge, that wrestling, and purging is not easy, but that wrestling, no matter what it is, and yours is always different than mine, but that wrestling prepares you for that service. Whatever it is. David, as a shepherd, in order to make him a great king, you know what made him a great king? Read the book of Psalms. He hated sin. I hate them that lie, he said. Wow. God took a shepherd and instantly put him in the top office and made him a king because he said, there's some things I will never like about sin. Paul is a hateful Pharisee. When he looked into his life and he was that cup, when he finally looked inside and he saw just how wicked and filthy he was, when he let Jesus Christ wash him white as snow, from that moment on, he hated sin in his life so much that all he yearned for was to be clean and to stay clean. God used that man like he never used another man, simply because, not because he's a great preacher. You should read how he was. They describe him as a bent-over old man, even though he was in his 40s and 50s. He couldn't see well with his eyes because they were so burned out by trying to write and read under a candlelight. He bare in his body the marks of the Lord Jesus, which means he was whipped. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he says, my speech was contemptible. With fear and trembling, I would stand and preach. You know what made him such a great preacher? He was clean. He just stayed clean. Now, do you think he sinned? Sure he did. But you better believe, as soon as he got dirty, he got clean again. Because he said, if there's one thing, and as you're reading here, as he's encouraging Timothy, he says, please, 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 get clean as fast as possible. You ever get filthy, you ever, the world just, all you have to do, I didn't know when I first came to Ireland, I didn't know how easy it was to baptize people in the rain while you're driving and they're walking and you're driving through a puddle and you baptize them. I didn't realize how I baptized a lot of people before I ever started the church. The principle is this. You can be minding your own business, Weston, going down the road of life, and somebody just, and you're covered in filth. You can't control everything that happens in your life. Amen? You just control how long you stay in that filth. Amen? And how long you keep dirty. So our goal is to be a prepared vessel. I cannot say our goal is to have 100 preachers this year out of this church. That's a stupid goal. Our goal is to have every one of you win 25 people to Christ. I'd love for every one of us to win somebody to Christ. Amen? But you know what our goal ought to be? To be ready for God to use us, whatever He sees fit. The only way to be ready is to keep your mind, heart, life clean. It belongs to Him. How do I keep it clean? Well, you put up with preaching like this morning. That's a good motivation. But you're going to have to look at your life and see what's there and go, I'm going to put some distance between the filth that keeps influencing me and the cleanness that God has given me. And that, and if you decide that I'm staying distance, and whatever the wrestle is where you say, oh, I keep wanting it, I keep getting tempted by it, that wrestle will make a man of God or a woman of God out of you. So that you're ready unto all good works. Do you ever wonder why God is not using you to win people to faith? You ever wonder that? Do you ever wonder why the devil has so much dominion still in your life? It could be that you have too casual a view of sin. And you just won't do what is necessary. You're finding yourself late at night on the television. Finding yourself in front of the internet. Finding yourself with a bad spirit and a bad attitude. Day after day. Maybe you won't do anything about it. That's the problem. Keep complaining about it, but don't do anything about it. You won't do what is necessary so that your life honors the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to be ready to serve the Lord. To work. Next week, for a whole week, we're going to have kind of a little bit like a contest. Not too big of a contest as far as, but a big focus on, I'm just going to do something for somebody else so they see Christ in me. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. I want to have an influence. I want to do something that serves the Lord. Good, all right. Well, it began with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Will the cross save anybody? Faith in Jesus Christ can save the lowest, most wicked sinner. And he saves from the inside out, doesn't he? But we need to stay clean. There are really only two kinds of vessels in this world, honorable and dishonorable. I'll give you one guess which one's winning. And there are only two kinds of vessels in a church. I'll only give you one guess which kind is dominant. God uses all the vessels. Which do you want to be used? I do. You choose how you're going to be used. If I reached for this cup, I'd take it and I'd put it away, and I wouldn't use it, would I? I'd reach for something else that was clean, wouldn't I? You know, I found that God uses people who are available more than He uses people who are capable. I've had to nail picture frame nails into the wall with a shoe. The heel of a shoe, not a woman's shoe, but a man's shoe. Because I had no hammer. Didn't work great, but it's the only thing I had. You know, God will use a Texan in Ireland because there wasn't somebody else who would do the job. So don't think about your capabilities. Think about your cleanliness. You choose how you want to be used. Your duty is to purge, get saved, and then protect, keep clean your life. Your goal is not so that you can show off and say, look at me, I'm better than you. Your goal is to be honorable unto Him and to be ready for Him to use, because He'll probably ask you to do something hard. Something you can't do. Something that you're going to have to totally depend on Him for, but you can only do it if you're a clean vessel. I want to be an honorable vessel, a sanctified, set apart. I got these, needed to even know we had them. It's been up on the top of our cabinet for about the last 2 years, and I had to clean out the dust before I put in the dirt. But she said, where'd you get that? I said, you haven't even noticed them in years. Because they were set up so high away from everybody so it wouldn't get knocked over. But God will set you up and protect you from a lot of trouble in your life if you'll be clean. The devil may even forget about you for a little while. I'm not comparing my wife to the devil either. Sorry. I knew what you were thinking. Anyway, be a vessel unto honor, an honorable vessel, a sanctified vessel, a proper vessel, one that fits His need. One that's prepared unto every good work. There's a lot of work to do in Christianity. Wesley can't do anything. Are you kidding? Compared to you and your filth and your wickedness, I'll take a Weston any day. Amen. Amen. Because with all the wrestling that Weston's gone through over the last few years, Scott's gone through, some of you have never wrestled against sin. And I'll take Scott and Weston over some of you any day. Because they know how the fight is won. They know their limits. They know where their strength comes from. Amen and amen. Am I got you mad yet? Prepared unto every good work. Do you still have a casual view of sin in your life? Will you do what is necessary so that your life honors your Lord? Every one of us must be ready to meet God. But when I meet Him, I want Him to say, you brought me honor. When a man sees, God, I can see you still. When that back door opened, and Eric got in the way, and Kim came out there, and we were up in the front, she brought honor to me. Better than you deserve. When you meet the Lord Jesus, wouldn't you like to Him say, you brought honor to me? Let's stand and respond in prayer.